I feel a little nervous, to be very honest, because I have not been in such a setting for a month or so. So please give me your well wishes. I feel I have something very important to share on these texts, but please encourage me. Translation. Now you may hear from me of what happened while Maharaj Parikshit was passing his days, hearing of the good occupations of his forefathers and being absorbed in thought of them. So Maharaj Parikshit hears about the glorious dynasty in which such great devotees as the five Pandavas have appeared before him, and is absorbed in the glorious examples of the good occupations of his forefathers. And something happens now. This is the first verse which will, so to say, initiate a very interesting occurrence that is the entrance of Kali into this peaceful ideal setting of Dharma, which was upheld by these great devotee kings of the past. Dharma paidaikena charan vichayam upalabhyagam prichati smashru vadanam vivatsam iva mataram. Translation. The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull. And he met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus Dharma questioned the earth as follows. Purport. The bull is the emblem of the moral principle, and the cow is the representative of the earth. When the bull and the cow are in a joyful mood, it is to be understood that the people of the world are also in a joyful mood. And the reason is that the bull helps production of grains in the agricultural field, and the cow delivers milk, the miracle of aggregate food values. The human society, therefore, maintains these two important animals very carefully so that they can wander everywhere in cheerfulness. But at the present moment, in this age of Kali, both the bull and the cow are now being slaughtered and eaten up as foodstuff by a class of men who do not know the Brahminical culture. The bull and the cow can be protected for the good of human society simply by the spreading of Brahminical culture as the topmost perfection of all cultural affairs. By advancement of such culture, the morale of society is properly maintained, and so peace and prosperity are also attained without extraneous effort. When Brahminical culture deteriorates, the cow and bull are mistreated, and the resultant actions are prominent by the following symptoms. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shri Govakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this verse, a very interesting and in its later part quite challenging occurrence or event takes place. That is, that the dharma represented by the bull and the cow are brutally attacked by Kali. Here in this purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that to uphold the dharma and for that end protect the bull and the cow means to introduce a culture which spreads spiritual auspiciousness around, the Brahminical culture. This is done, as we hear in later purports by Srila Prabhupada, by introducing four principles by which the people live, principles of life which ensure the appearance and maintenance of Dharma. These four principles are in a brief kindness towards all. This is therefore one doesn't eat meat. Renunciation, therefore one does not intoxicate himself. A third one, please help me. Purity, therefore one does not have illicit sexual relationships. And finally, truthfulness, therefore one abstains from lying, even in the name of useful diplomacy. So these are four principles which, as you all know, we have to promise to uphold when we enter the arena of our sacred initiation. It's interesting that the Chaitanya Bhakti or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks also of four principles, which include, of course, these dharmic principles, but which, in the opinion of the Chaitanya Bhaktas, the Bhaktas of Mahaprabhu, add more life even to them. These four principles were taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through four of his great devotees. And today I would like to remind all of us of these four principles, and I would also I will of course only be able to deal with one, because they are very deal with one extensively, because they are very it's a deep subject. I feel if we become aware of living our lives according to spiritual principles, we will be carriers of Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And therefore, I feel this discussion is very useful. I will try to put some challenges before you, which will make you think during this lecture, and hope to serve you in your own application of these principles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the principle of simplicity through Damodar Pandit. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained to us that simplicity or saralata means or determines the conduct of a Vaishnava. Simplicity means something like straightforwardness. It also means to be satisfied simply with what Krishna arranges for us and so on. Anyways, I can't talk so deeply about each one. He talked about the principle of sense and mind control as through the example of Ramananda Roy. He taught the principle of humility through Sanatan Goswami, and he taught the principle of forbearance or tolerance through Haridas Thakur. So here is, for those of you who like to work on their spiritual improvement, a very nice list: simplicity, mind and sense control, humility, and tolerance. Of course, you will recognize these principles easily in the famous Trinadapi shloka. Trinadapi sunichena toro iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Mahaprabhu's introduced the Yuga Dharma of the chanting and said it will work when you put your chanting on the basis of these four principles: humility, tolerance, respecting others and not expecting respect in return. And all these things can be found in different elaborations, in the slightly different namings of these principles. Let me now please talk about forbearance, my favorite subject matter for the last months, or tolerance. When all of a sudden some uninvited rascal pulled me from the preaching stage and dumped me in the valley of pain. It was disease, the rascal. There I had ample opportunity to practice forbearance or tolerance or learn this, and would like to share a few things about this. See, in our lives, especially as Westerners, we are not accustomed to respond with tolerance to what we conceive to be misery. We are doing everything in the world to battle misery, and when the misery comes in the form of people not being exactly charitable to us in our perception, then we become highly enraged, even more enraged than when we have a disease, and begin to battle those people and think of retaliation rather than tolerance and forbearance. So I feel by introducing this principle, which is very often not understood or applied in our practical life, we can benefit. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam saying that tatenukampam susumikshamana bunyanaivatma kritam vipakam hridvakvapurbhi vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently or you could say tolerantly or full of forbearance, suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Now, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur offers a mind-capturing purport to this verse, which we want to read to you, but before, we want to request to open the windows for a moment so that we get the refreshing and awakening doses of oxygen to our brains. From now on, you need to concentrate a little, because I will not go slow, but rather fast. So you need oxygen, and sit properly, please, if it helps you. Breathe deeply, if it is beneficial for your attention, and so on. Here is what the devotee thinks when there is this, when there are these challenges in his mind, or in his life, I wanted to say. The Lord certainly knows what is best for me. Even if I don't know, karma and time have no effect on a devotee. So this is Krishna's personal arrangement for me. Out of his mercy, Krishna sometimes gives me happiness and sometimes gives me distress, considering how to engage me in his service. Then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti continues, he offers a prayer which a devotee who experiences a mental or physical challenge in his life can offer, a prayer spoken by the great king Prithu Maharaj. In the fourth canto, if you like prayers, fourth canto, chapter 20, text 31. As the prayer goes like this, as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please, my Lord, bestow upon me whatever you think is best for me. Here the devotee does not present Krishna with a Christian desire list, but says, you know best. You are like a father and I'm like your son, so you have more ability to really see for my welfare than even I have. And he says that the father may sometimes give kind words and candies to the son, but sometimes also a solid spanking. I have an interesting relationship to my father because I come out of a good German education. That means spanking or hitting was a well-accepted means of character formation. And I remember I was so wild as a child and would always climb on trees and, of course, lose the balance and fall down from the top of the trees and then couldn't breathe and almost died. So after many consultations, my father decided to go to the spanking method. Whenever I was reported by an observer to be on a tree, when I came down, he would leave his office and gave me a spanking. I was protesting and even said, wait until I'm big and know how to operate a machine gun. Now, much later, I think it was very, very good. It was very, very good. I also meditate about my own relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I always, the way he dealt with me, I have inbuilt in me a natural respect that if I'm going to do something wrong and go too much into my conditioned nature, which is sometimes a little off the beaten track, then I will displease him, and he will look at me like he looked at me in Amsterdam. And this is more than I could tolerate, so better behave as good as possible. So the father does this out of love. My father, after each spanking, would just say, "Sorry, later you will know for what it is good." Sometimes he would cry while he would do his spanking. Out of affection for me. He's still very affectionate to me. And I have accepted this, yes. Old German education, I think it does some good when it is applied with love and devotion. And not devotion, love. But is there maybe for our doubting, for our inquisitive mind, a hint, what could be the reason for our suffering? And I will now read to you something from the purport, which will make you blush or make you pale. It had a great awakening effect for me. Here, the devotee says, "My Lord, this is not my karma. This is your personal affection and arrangement. But why do we get things?" Vishwanath Chakravarti says something which will most probably drive half of my audience wild, and they will go under the roof. So we have some glass protection. A devotee understands that the happiness and distress he undergoes due to performing bhakti and committing aparadhas are special mercy from the Lord. In other words, you are happy when you perform bhakti. This is the concept. And when you perform aparadhas or offenses during the process, you incur your own unhappiness. This is here. As many of us, I was in great defense about this. Oh, this means I'm suffering because of offenses. Let us keep this question open, and now we will revisit it a little later. And now go into the interesting, the teacher of forbearance or humility, forbearance or tolerance, which is one of the important principles to make the Krishna conscious process work. The example of forbearance or tolerance is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur lived at the Ganga in Fulia Gram, and it is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he was fully absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. He would walk on the Ganga, infused with ecstatic love of Godhead. He would sometimes stumble and fall, and due to the ecstasy which surged his body, he would sometimes change colors. The people he met, if he was in that consciousness where he could do so, were convinced by him, chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna. Haridas Thakur, being such an example of Naam Ruchi or taste in the holy name, would inspire the chanting in all the people he met, and it spread like wildfire, so that the regime of the Muslims became highly, highly enraged. One demoniac Qazi convinced the king for brutal action. He said, "We have to stop this Haridas. Give me some soldiers. I will bring him." Now, whenever the Muslim rule at that time took someone with soldiers to the king, it meant the most brutal tortures you could imagine. Haridas Thakur was chanting when the soldiers surrounded him. "Come with us. There's an order of arrest." Haridas knew what that meant, but he was not afraid. He went with the soldiers and passed on the way, just before the palace of the king, by a prison. In this prison, there are many pious Hindus who had maybe sometimes raised their voice against or not in exact conformity with the regime of suppression. And they implored the guards, please, the saint is Haridas is coming. Let him make a slight detour over the prison when he goes to the king. Let him, please, bless him us. And the guard said, good, that knew all right if it is your belief. And they brought Haridas in there. The prisoner said, we are suffering. Haridas, the emblem of tolerance, said, may you always be in such a state. What? No, you have misunderstood me. I didn't say may you always be in prison. I said may you always be in such a state where you eagerly want Krishna. Do you know how you can obtain Krishna? With your eagerness. Not with your, oh, I'm all right. Everything works according to my schemes. You need to call for Krishna. Sanatana Goswami describes in his Tika, like the Chakravarti bird, no, Chakora bird, who doesn't drink anything, who doesn't drink any water except from the rain cloud in the hot summer season, eagerly calls out, Jalde, give me water, and flies towards the cloud. In this mood, we can chant and we can practice Krishna consciousness. We need to have a feeling of need, not a feeling of great material satiation or satisfaction. Another example is offered, but we have to run briefly through this. So Haridas Thakur then said, in 2 or 3 days you will be liberated from the prison existence, but may you always want Krishna in your Krishna, in your consciousness. Then he went to the king, and I will not tell everything in detail. After a very interesting dialogue where he almost convinced the king, where actually he convinced the king due to the Qazi's insistence, since he was still judged to be beaten with on 21 marketplaces. In Muslim beating, there are two types of beating. The not-so-harmful beating, which comes from the elbow, and the beating with the full strength, where due to the laws of physics, the impact of the beating is stronger and peels the skin quickly from your body. The second method was chosen. It was a very, very brutal scene. He chanted all the time the Maha Mantra. At the end, the guards came to him and said, Haridas, you are not a human. Do you know, if we can't inflict the punishment on you, which is ordained, which you are, given, then we will be punished. Haridas said, oh my brothers, if I cost you some inconvenience and anxiety, and then, boom, he fainted. It was discussed what to do with the dead body of Haridas Thakur, and decided one should dump him like garbage in the Ganga, not give him a Hindu cremation, because the smarter brahmanas didn't accept Haridas. For them, he was a Muslim. And the Muslims didn't accept him either, so that a proper Muslim burial was also denied to him. He really had to tolerate a lot. He was not accepted by anyone except the few devotees. Haridas' body was, after some other small things which happened, carried to the Ganga, and there he floated down the Ganga. And after some time, he came back to his external consciousness, chanted happily, and walked back to the palace of the king. He was not afraid. The king saw him coming. He must have asked his people if this was a ghost or the real Haridas, and understood this is a great saint, and said, we have made a great aparad against you. Please forgive us. You may go freely wherever you want. You are a special case. So Haridas walked freely and chanted and spread the chanting until he came to Fulia, where he met the brahmanas who were in contact with Advaitacharya. The brahmanas were sympathetic this time or here, and they asked, Haridas, how could it happen that an exalted devotee like you was apparently not protected by the Lord? And how could it happen that you were beaten so brutally? Do you know what Haridas said? He didn't say these rascals and made a plan of leaflet distribution against the Muslim government. He said, it is because I heard so many offenses against the holy name, and then this way became an aparari. This was his answer. Let us park this answer, because it is so almost impossible for us to understand, on the parking place of questions, which we will revisit later. One question was there, do we suffer because of aparadas? The second question on this parking place is, did Haridas, what can we make of Haridas Thakur's answer that he suffered due to aparadas? Later, when Mahaprabhu showed Haridas his universal, his Mahaprakash, he gave him a divine revelation, it is called. He showed him how he is Krishna. And he said, Haridas, offer prayers to me. Haridas, you are my very self, he said. Haridas, I must tell something. When you were brutally beaten, I was seeing it, and I was coming with my chakra to behead these rascals. Medyutim, medyutim is not the English word, but I couldn't do anything. Because you prayed for these punishers of you. You said, my Lord, please save them. They are not guilty. Please, don't punish them. That was your prayer. So all I could do is I could cover your body with my own body. Then the Lord said, I am not speaking a lie. And he removed the shudder from his transcendentally effulgent body, turned around, and there everyone could see the marks of brutality inflicted on the body of the Lord. These, you know, this whipping marks. When Haridas saw this, he broke down in ecstasy, and he cried, my Lord, that time, Lord Chaitanya said, see me, see me. And he was in his form of Krishna. But Haridas was so crying, so much crying, he could not see with all the tears. And then the Lord said, Haridas, you offer your prayer now. And Haridas said something very nice. He said, my Lord, you say those who remember you, they are saved. The Pandavas remembered you in the forest and they were saved. Draupadi remembered you in the court and she was saved. Parvati went surrounded by three witches who wanted to devour her, remembered you and were saved. But I cannot remember you. Therefore, I want only one benediction. I want to be, in whatever future birth I take, I want to be born in the family of the devotees. And even if it's as an insect, if I can get some prasadam from the devotees, everything is all right. Please, my dear devotees, think about the extent of tolerance of the person who was made the Nam Acharya in Mahaprabhu's movement. Please also think and dare to think of the amount of humility which was visible there. These are principles which we certainly cannot imitate. We would look like the greatest pretenders on this planet Earth if we would try to imitate them. And it would become a disgrace to the world of honest men. But these are directions to put our steps in. These are directions to think about every day. These are inspirations for us. When the Lord sees that his devotee is not in the retaliation mood, when the Lord sees that his devotee is in the humility mood, then the Lord is attracted. And my dear devotees, this age in which we live is not the age of attaining the kingdom with our own qualifications. It is the kingdom of God. It is the age of attaining the kingdom of God due to mercy of the Lord. So you attract the powerful mercy of the Lord by coming into, by moving into this direction of forbearance and humility. So on. Now I want to come to a close. I leave my questions parked on the parking place. You can visit them and come to some understanding for you in your thinking time. I will address another little thing just in 4 minutes. We will hear now in the Bhagavatam how Mother Earth, in the form of a cow, is brutally attacked by Kali. In fact, the rascal has already broken 3 of her 4 legs. She is with 1 leg only equipped. It is tremendous suffering. And the bull was also beaten. Parikshit Maharaj, while meditating about the glorious deeds of his forefathers, gets notice of this, takes his chariot out, which makes a rattling sound, full attack sound, in other words, and goes to Kali and confronts Kali. While he confronts Kali, he makes the investigation. He has his sword, he's ready to kill Kali, and now he asks Dharma, who, just on the witness stand, who inflicted cruelty to you and Mother Earth? Now the bull begins to speak. Some say it's the planets. Some say it is other living entities who inflict miseries on others. But I say it is the one's own karma. He doesn't point his finger to Dharma, to Kali. The rascal was drawing blood from us. Now he needs some kingly action of punishment. He doesn't do this. He is tolerant. He says, it's my own karma. It's karma. Now, what is Parikshit Maharaj's reaction? Does he shrunk his shoulder? How philosophical. It's you. Good, it's your own karma. Okay, Kali, you are free. The witness or the attacked ones withdrew his charge. You have no... I can't do anything. No. Parikshit Maharaj accepts this answer on one level. Then he turns for kingly action towards the perpetrator, to Kali. What I wish to draw out from this point is, for us as individuals, it is good if we want to make advancement, to dress ourselves in the code of forbearance and humility. But for us as a society, or as bystanders who see another devotee in a difficult situation, it behooves us to follow the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Kali, you bet, was beating the bull. Now you get your reaction. We have to put consequences to wrongdoing so that we can correct this. So this is sometimes bewildering, these two forms of actions, two forms of attitudes. One attitude for your personal sadhana, for your spiritual upliftment, which will bring you towards Krishna conscious advancement, and another thing which will also bring you towards Krishna conscious advancement, to act against the wrong things. The simplicity means that straightforwardness. If something is wrong, then it is wrong and it needs to be said. But when we are wronged, we better understand we have initiated the wrongness ourselves by our misbehavior. If you wish to see it as karma, your own karma, or the residues of your karma, that's certainly a philosophical possibility. If you wish to see it as your own aparadas, that is also a philosophical possibility of interpretation. Hare Krishna. I want to end here. I hope I have said something of value for you. I have talked about the forbearance and tolerance necessary for a spiritual person. Would just like to end with an observation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is quoted by our in the 11th canto by our Vaishnava scholars who have written the commentaries. In the narration regarding the Brahmana from Avanti, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, those who are on the spiritual path are unfortunately very often not tolerant. But if they learn to become tolerant, the miseries will quickly stop. Those who have dared to experiment with this principle, to be tolerant when maybe others were attacking them, or were tolerant when miseries came, have seen almost a mystical thing happening. You disentangle from the causes of your misery and from your misery. Those who have preferred to take the German road, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, revenge is a sweet dish best served cold. That is, after some time when the one who wronged you doesn't know from where it comes, when it comes as a surprise. this is Spanish folklore. Those who have taken this road have always found out that they have entangled themselves further and further and further in material consciousness and material suffering. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Now it is 9:30 and I have an intuitive feeling that because we have these very important national council meetings, we should end the class here without the question and answers. Thank you very much for listening. I wish you a wonderful festival. I'm overjoyed that the festival has really not yet started, but so many of you made the pilgrimage to Navayiyar and Nishinga Chetra. I will place a little thought in your mind. My dear devotees, we come in a time where we are always surprised by seeing how many devotees we have and how nice they are and how much they like to chant and do service and when they come to the festival. But then the place is vacant when everyone goes because no one takes responsibility for this place. Now we have again to make a big arrangement to see, and there is a very kind devotee who has offered his help to somehow save this place. Please, those of you who are in the boat, think of coming from the consumer devotee to the practical servant of Lord Krishna. Think about this subject matter deeply. It is an important subject matter. On Sunday morning, usually one reads the Bild Zeitung in Germany, the most terrible newspaper in the world. Here, did Michael Jackson abuse a German boy? These foolish Tresorknacker, we got them at the bakery. But in it, we find a wonderful devotee with a very nice tilak, Kalakanta. When I die, my soul only changes bodies. As if this is not enough, we have the Pancha Tattva spreading their mercy to the Bild-Zeitungsleser. And a wonderful article, quite devotional, describing how Kalakanta gets up and then worships Krishna on the way to Krishna. She passes different demigods who are all included in Krishna. Krishna, in other words, is Svayam Bhagavan. The Bild-Zeitung has said this. it is authoritative. It's true, yes. And it has just a wonderful thing about it. If you, it is really the good literature for Sunday morning, so I didn't want to make you bereft of this. It's a sign of changing times. People are so are opening up. Even the Bild-Zeitung regisseur, or what is it, the redacteur, said to Gadadhar, when Gadadhar didn't believe that they would, they phoned Gadadhar and said, we want to make an article. And Gadadhar said, forget it. You had one chance and you wrote something so foolish. No. We are changing now. Gadara said, please tell this to your grandmother. No. And he was very, he felt hurt that he was underestimated in his spiritual capabilities. So Gadara then allowed him and he wrote a very, very nice, I mean, there's not one bad word in it. There is only good words in it. And it is almost, you can't believe it when you see all the other things. I won't show you these, the other pages, because you might see breaking the principles on one of the pages. I have not also seen it, I don't know. Times are changing, even in the Bild-Zeitung. When will the times change in the Hare Krishna movement? We need now active members who take some staragosti, some austerity for the noble mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Forget the suffering of the past, which was there due to whatever you want to interpret it. The miseries were there. Just go, come, let us come together. It's so much, it eats the nerval tissues away to see that the festivals are so much visited even before they start. Please, this has not yet started. And then everything is gone, and we have to, then some devotees sit on the table, what to do with the farm. Please, it's not fair. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, sisi go nitai ki, go premanandi hari hari bo. Hare Krishna.